All right, everyone, welcome to the inaugural Sports Gambling Podcast. We're doing it live. I am Sean Green, diehard Philadelphia Eagles fan, and I'm here with my sidekick. Unfortunately, a New York Giants fan, New York Football Giants, Ryan Kramer. Ryan, how you doing?
I'm good. Sidekick, really?
Well, what do you want to be called? Co-host? Sidekick?
Partner?
Partner, all right. The partner in the Sports Gambling Podcast. All right, Ryan, so when did you, we'll get a little background on gambling in general. When did you first start gambling on sports?
Good question. I'd say, I don't know, middle school maybe?
Middle school?
Yeah.
Now, when you bet in middle school, did you have spreads? Because I'm trying to
think. Of course. Yeah, no, you had, well, you bet with your friends, but you also, I don't know, I guess growing up in New Jersey, you couldn't help but have an older Italian fellow who took bets. And, you know, you bet 25. If you lost, you paid 30. You won 25. That was pretty much my life.
That was your
eighth grade through 12.
First introduction to the VIG. I remember the first game I bet on, I bet my dad 50 cents that the Bills would win the Super Bowl against your New York Giants. And unfortunately, wow, man, what was his name that missed the, Norwood.
Norwood.
Wide right,
yes,
Norwood.
Sure. Yes, sir.
Big disappointment. I started off as a mush, and I've continued that on. Although
50 cents, really?
Yeah, 50 cents. My dad collected. I remember I had to leave the quarters on the microwave, and you know, he taught me a lesson that if you lose a bet, you got to pay up. There's no welching involved. Quick reminder: this podcast is being brought to you today by WinTheTrophy.com. Win the Trophy is essentially, the guy pitched it to me as Farmville for sports gambling. Basically, you log on, you get a certain number of credits, you pick the games. If you win, you get more credits. Obviously, if you lose credits. You log on there, it's a good time. And the thing is, if you win enough credits, if you do well enough in the game, you can become a genius picker for the site, and you can actually get paid real money for it. You can actually make money off the site. It's totally legal. Unlike some of the gambling Ryan and I are involved in, it's totally legal. WinTheTrophy.com, and if you enter STG, it supports the Sports Gambling Podcast. STG for, of course, SeanTGreen.com, host of the Green Room as well. So yeah, a little intro into gambling, and I mean the lockout. Everyone was holding their breath, but I was optimistic about it the entire time. I feel like the gambling community wouldn't let the NFL season fall away. Like, I feel like there are forces working behind the scenes, just bookies and stuff like that, that would not allow the NFL season not to go on. Did you hear Robert Kraft? I found this hilarious, that Robert Kraft, it's not hilarious that his wife passed away, but his wife was on her deathbed, and she told him to go make the deal happen. And then I guess he, like, went right from her deathbed, met up with Jeff Saturday, the center for the Indianapolis Colts, and was like, let's make this deal happen. And they were able to put it together and get these things going, or get the season rolling.
It's going to be a shitty Lifetime movie.
Yes.
The Other Side of Football.
I mean, it's cool that a woman understands football that well, and she is that into it. All right, a couple of running segments that I think we're going to have going on the program, the first of which is the backdoor cover of the week. Backdoor cover, of course, is you gotta pick. It's not looking good, and then a miraculous, pointless play that doesn't really affect the outcome of the game necessarily, but would really affect the spread. And, of course, there were no pro games this past weekend. So Labor Day weekend, we had to gamble on the game. It was the Maryland Terps versus the Miami Hurricanes. And what was your take? We didn't get any bets in the first half, and then what was your take in the second half, Ryan?
So to be clear, we're reflecting upon a backdoor cover. So exactly. This might not be a weekly segment.
Right.
Okay.
No. What we'll do is I'll pick out a game where the underdog covered or someone. There was a backdoor cover that happened. I'm sure one will happen each week in the NFL.
A lot of Buffalo Bills games, I'm sure.
Exactly. You know, they'll get that meaningless touchdown at the end that will allow them to cover the spread.
Okay, so we're watching the Monday night kickoff classic game, Miami at Maryland. We don't get the first half bets in. We're consumed with a fantasy football draft, so we figured like any normal gambler, you wait till halftime, see what the line is.
Yep.
Looked like they scored a little bit too much in the first half, so you know, you want to take the under. So I go ahead and do the safe thing, take the under. But Sean decides to, well, hey, you know, you got to go big or go home. So he parlays it with Maryland.
Yes, and, I took the under in the game, or the under in the second half, and Maryland minus a half point. Now, Maryland was up by 6 points going into the second, or I'm sorry, Maryland was down 6 points going, or no, sorry, they were up 6 points going into the second half. So essentially they had to win the game then by 7 points for me to cover the spread.
And, you know, it's looking great for the under. Not many points. Maryland doesn't seem like they want to score. They're not really trying.
Missed a couple easy field goals, which
is
killing them.
So this leads to that. They end up kicking a field goal to go up by, I believe, 2 points with about a minute to go. And, you know, you do the thing. Oh, great. I mean, at least they score. Now all we need is a pick six, and we're good.
Yep. Pick six. It's fourth down. Miami obviously has to go for it. They're on their own 40-yard line or somewhere about there. Fourth and four. They're lining up, and here you go. The backdoor cover of the week brought to you by WinTheTrophy.com.
Baines will have to go for it at the Turf 49. Morris is back, looking right, going right. Picked off, intercepted on the play to the 30, to the 25, and the 20. 15, 10, 5, touchdown, Maryland. 54 yards for Cameron Chisholm.
First off, if you're not familiar with the guy's actual name, I isolated part of his last name.
Chisholm.
It definitely sounds like his actual last name is Chisholm, correct?
Yeah, Chisholm.
Okay, you can see why there would be some confusion as to how it might sound.
Chisholm.
Like something else. But yes, that was a miraculous pick six to end the game and basically to hit my bet, because the total for the second half was 24 or 23 and a half points, so it was just underneath that. And they had to run the interception back for a touchdown to cover the 6.5 points. But yeah, it was it totally seemed like a lost cause. But you do throw it out there like, oh yeah, I guess the only thing saving us now is a pick six. You never really get those to hit.
It never happens, ever.
Nope. And it's a sign, Ryan. It's a sign that things are going our way this year, and we're going to be racking in the real dough and making some real cash here. This I always enjoy the announcers' calls. I always enjoy when Ryan. What gets old guys angrier? The old. What are a couple things that really anger old white announcers?
I don't know, black scrambling quarterbacks.
Right, that's one thing. They like to consider themselves old-fashioned, but I'll tell you one thing they don't like, though. They don't like you showing off. Now, Brandon Banks is returning punts now for the Washington Redskins. He's a speedy small guy, a DeSean Jackson type, if you will. A poor man's DeSean Jackson. And he's in a preseason game. He runs the kickoff back for a touchdown, and while he's crossing the goal line, he lets the ball come out because he's just celebrated. So now it goes to replay because they don't know if he dropped the ball before he crossed the goal line or if he had full possession when he crossed the goal line. And this is Joe Theismann reacting to this whole situation and to the play being taken in some replay.
Now, what they could be reviewing is does he have possession of the ball when he crosses the goal line? I don't care if you're a hot dog. Do whatever you want. But make sure you're in the end zone. This is
It does seem like he really does care if you're a hot dogger.
Coming back. He is not in the end zone. He does not have possession of the ball when he crosses the goal line. And that's just downright bad football sense.
Wow.
That's a nice job of officiating, and being a hot dog doesn't get it done. I will say this, I bet he learns his lesson after this one. Is it so hard at this day and age to run the ball into the end zone? I mean, I don't think football has changed that much where you don't want to score touchdowns. It's so simple.
In case you didn't know, he was an old white guy. He used hot dog like 3 times in their describing.
They're hot dogging it, and you got these guys listening to the rap music doing the...
He was trying so hard not to be racist.
These guys are doing the chicken dance in the end zone. I remember when the game was simpler, when you had slinging Sammy Baugh, and he took the ball and he handed it to the ref. I like the simpler times.
To be fair, though, I mean, It's not like Brandon Bakes is a superstar. You think he could hold the ball for an extra second?
No, I agree. I agree with Joe Theismann here. It makes an obvious point that, yes, you should carry the ball over the end zone. It's just so funny how pissed off he gets and the way he's just like, this is bad, bad football. Almost like the way you would kind of yell at your dog, like, bad, Brandon Banks. Don't let that ball loose. Bad dog. But, then, of course, it got overturned. And so I don't know if Brandon Banks learned his lesson at all, to be honest. I really have no idea if he learned his lesson or not. So we will see. All right, let's get to the games here, Ryan. I even got a little NFL primetime breakdown music. All right, here we go. We're breaking down the lines, going through each game in chronological order. We're going to be posting our picks, of course, on winthetrophy.com. And let's start off tomorrow night, or actually it'll be posting on Thursday. So tonight, 5:30 Pacific, 8:30 East, the 2011 season is kicking off with the New Orleans Saints going to the Green Bay Packers. Ryan, what's your thoughts on this game?
I don't know. These games always suck to watch because you got to deal with some crappy halftime show and You gotta hear him talk about how great Aaron Rodgers is and how great of a teammate he is, and then you're gonna
just
have to watch
an all around good guy.
Yeah. You're gonna have to watch him put on the stupid belt like 50 times, and
I don't really hate Aaron Rodgers, but it at a certain point when athletes try so hard to be funny, it at some point it becomes annoying.
I don't know. I feel like if I was a starting quarterback in the NFL, I'd want to be just like Aaron Rodgers.
He just called for the belt.
Yeah, why not? You're the man.
Yeah, I guess I'm just thinking as an opposing fan's point of view and getting irritated by it. But he's Aaron Rodgers. He doesn't really care about that.
Yeah, so I don't know. I don't particularly like either side of this. If I'm betting, I guess we're talking about betting. So
right,
I'm
exactly. Probably you got to make a play on this game, right? You got to make a play.
I'm probably taking. I'm taking the Saints. Week one. I feel like it's always a little safer to take the team getting points since there's a lot of uncertainty. You don't know if the Packers are just all hype. You don't know if that's, you know, they had a run last year. Who knows if they're going to keep it up?
Yeah, I think
Super Bowl hangover.
They had a run and they're bringing a lot of guys back and they're healthy and I think they're going to have a really good season, but you just hear these interviews and it's a lot of Aaron Rodgers talking about whether he shouldn't or should shave his mustache, and oh, he decided to shave his mustache. A lot of goofing around in practice. Meanwhile, I think the Saints last year in the playoffs, I think they got humbled. When they went up to the Seattle Seahawks, Marshawn Lynch just ran over these guys, literally, and just look at the numbers. They kind of went up there. They got their ass kicked. I think they are, you got Drew Brees, you got Sean Payton. I think they're a proud team. They made some moves. Drew Brees got them together in the offseason, scheduled his own practice sessions. I kind of like that eye of the tiger. Like, I think, especially week one, I think they're coming in a little more focused. Green Bay is going to be, all right, hey, it's about the pomp, the circumstance. They're getting their rings. I think it's going to feel like more of an exhibition, where New Orleans, I think, is coming in hungry, desperate to clean the slate, and that's why I like New Orleans getting 4 points.
Well, also big story no one's really talking about, because every team seemed to like do their own informal practices when they weren't allowed to practice officially as a team. The Packers didn't practice at all because they felt like they didn't need to.
Yeah,
like what? 31 teams are practicing and they don't feel like they need to. So
right,
I don't know.
And you got Aaron Rodgers, and they were a good team. Don't get me wrong. But I think they got backed into a corner. They had a lot of injuries. Then they got put in this place where it's like, hey, we got nothing to lose. They barely got into the playoffs, and then they just went on this run. And they had a lot of talent, and they played really well in the playoffs. Don't get me wrong. But I think there is something to be said when you're playing with the house's money. I mean, when I'm playing blackjack and I'm up $500, the chips are flowing freer. You're getting in a zone. You're playing less tense. Whereas if you're expected to win, you come in knowing that there's a lot of pressure, and I think that's going to get to them at least early on in the season.
One other quick thing to point out: they didn't really have to face a top-tier quarterback through that run. I mean, Michael Vick's really good, but in terms of pocket passer, he's going to pick that blitz apart.
Yeah.
And if there's any quarterback in the league that can do it, Drew Brees is that quarterback.
And I think, especially in the NFC, I think the Saints are getting overlooked as a team. You're hearing a lot about the Eagles, obviously.
And
you're
the
hearing
Falcons.
A lot about the Falcons, a lot about Green Bay, and you're not hearing much about the Saints. And I think they're returning a lot of quality guys. They got rid of Reggie Bush. They got Darren Sproles, right?
Yeah, they picked up Darren Sproles, who's like a better version of Reggie Bush.
No, yeah, I like the Saints, especially getting 4 points. I mean, I feel like this game's going to be close regardless, especially if you can get New Orleans plus 4.5, which I think I'd win the trophy right now. It's at 4.5. I like that. I feel like it gives you a lot of outs, and I feel like New Orleans is going to put up some points.
I think we agree.
All right, we got a consensus pick, Saints plus 4. Moving on to the 10 a.m. early games on the Pacific, 1 o'clock East. We got the Pittsburgh Steelers heading into Baltimore. Pittsburgh, right now, according to Las Vegas Hilton, is getting 2.5 points. It's been dancing around. Occasionally you're getting that 3 points. Ryan, what's your take?
Well, two quick things. I don't think we need to talk about this game too much. Anytime these teams play, you take the dog. And I guess the only thing that scares me is that it takes a lot of money to move a spread from 3 to 2.5, and it moved from 3 to 2.5 and 2 in some places. So, but yeah, you got to take the points. These teams, they always play close games. I think the Ravens are coming into this season a little overrated, and Pittsburgh a little underrated.
Yeah, I mean, you're getting the AFC champion team, you're getting points with them. To me, this seems like a no-brainer. This seems...
And to be honest, Flacco really took a step backward last year.
Yeah, and they've lost some talent, the Ravens. They're getting older at a lot of key positions. Ray Lewis is not the linebacker he was. No one wants to say that because they're afraid you're going to get murdered in a Miami nightclub and never be heard from again. But Ray Lewis
allegedly.
He's not the beast that he was. I mean, the Steelers were winning early last year without Big Ben. Now they're coming in with Big Ben, no distractions, little chip on their shoulder. They got a strong group of core guys. Traditionally, they draft well. And you got to look at the big stat here. Joe Flacco, 0-6 against Big Ben lifetime. So until he gets that monkey off his back, I like the Steelers getting 2.5 points, getting 3 points. Honestly, if you're going to bet this, I think you just take Steelers' money line. I think they're – I don't know what the 2.5 points really does for
you. It's not giving you much. I checked it before we came on. It's like plus 115.
Okay. So, yeah, maybe there's not a lot of value in that, but I think the Steelers are going to win that straight up. All right, moving down to the NFC South, where the Tampa Bay Buccaneers are going to be taking on the NFC North, Detroit Lions. The Detroit Lions are getting 1.5 points. The Bucs are favored by 1.5 there. Ryan, what's your take on this game early on?
I think the public's really getting hyped up about Detroit.
I know.
I think Detroit's slowly becoming the Houston Texans of the NFC.
I was just going to say that. I got that in my notes. They're the NFC Houston Texans.
Their defense looks great on paper. They were improved last year. They have a quarterback that everyone expects to take the next step every year and gets hurt. They have a really, really badass receiver. Unfortunately, their running game doesn't look great. Their Javon Best, their running back, is one concussion away from being dead, probably. they don't really have any other receivers. They have a good tight end, but the key is they have to do it. And Josh Freeman showed he can do it. That Raheem Morris showed he can do it as a coach. There's no way this line should be 3 points, so you got to take the Bucs at home.
Yeah, I mean, the fact that the Bucs, yeah, I think even saying that the Bucs minus 3, I think, so you're saying these teams are even on a neutral field, now I just don't see it. The Buccaneers, yeah, they were 10-6 last year, and yeah, so maybe they benefited from an easy schedule, or maybe they, you know, maybe you take a look at the advanced metrics and see that perhaps they got lucky, but they have playmakers at a lot of skill positions. They have a good coach. They're a young team. They're focused. They know what it's like to win. And I can't say that yet for the Detroit Lions. Yeah, okay, the Lions are poised for this good season. And everyone wants the Lions to be good because they've been so bad for so long. But I don't know if they're there yet. Show me Matt Stafford being healthy for an entire year. Show me Matt Stafford winning some key games. What signature wins does Matt Stafford have? None. I mean, it's interesting to say, oh, hey, he's really good. And, yeah, Sue is a beast. But are they going to be able to take down the Bucs? I don't think so. I like the Bucs here, especially a line this low.
Another big the first-round pick, Nick Farrelly, who was supposed to be Sue's running mate down there on the defensive line, he's out for this game. He'll be out for a couple weeks. And quick nugget, LeGarrette Blount on the Bucs led the league in broken tackles last year. So
yeah, no, LeGarrette Blount seems poised to have a big year. I got him in one of my fantasy teams. He's a guy who just runs hard. You don't want to mess with that guy. And you got Josh Freeman. The guy knows how to, kind of like a McNabb type, in that he seems to be able to move around, create plays. And I like them at home, and I just think it's the public overvaluing Detroit early on, thinking, because they just hear everyone, it's the cliche pick, like, and you know what, I'm going to go out on a limb, and I'm going to say the Detroit Lions are making the playoffs, they're going to grab that wild card spot. It's not going to happen.
Yeah, it's definitely...
Detroit is a year away at best. Well, I'd be surprised if they win seven games this year. And what really sealed it for me is when Kid Rock, I just saw a press release that Kid Rock is high on Detroit football this year. So if Kid Rock is buying into the hype, that means it's a lot of hype. And I think especially early on here, you got to take the home team, quality team, the Bucks right now. And I think there's too much of people trying to knock them down right now early on in the season. Okay, next up we got the Atlanta Falcons traveling to Soldier Field to take on the Chicago Bears. Currently, the Chicago Bears at home are getting 3 points. So what the bookies are trying to say is that on an even field, the Falcons are 6 points better. Ryan, do you agree with that?
Well, I think this is another case of a team that the public is really buying into the hype. Falcons had a great year last year, got destroyed in the playoffs, didn't really upgrade their defense. They upgraded their offense. They drafted Julio Jones. Everyone's expecting them to come out, throw the ball. As someone was quoted, they're going to be the greatest show on turf. I'm not quite sure. One, this game isn't on turf. Matt Ryan doesn't have the greatest record on the road against tough opponents. And they need to run the ball to be successful. They need Turner to be successful. And the one thing the Bears do every year is stop the run.
If Urlacher's healthy, you got Lance Briggs out there.
Julius Peppers
had a really big year for the Bears. And the Bears right now seem like a team that just kind of things went their way last year, obviously until the NFC Championship game. I think if Cutler is any kind of man, he's got to have a little bit of swagger, a little bit of chip on his shoulder. I mean, was he not having sex with Kristen Cavallari? Weren't they engaged or something?
Is that so, Sean?
I think so, right? Oh, wasn't he?
I'm not sure.
He was engaged to one of these really hot stars. The point is, if you're pulling that kind of sweet tail, you got to have some testosterone. You got to have some pride. Everyone has called you out. Maurice Jones-Drew called you out. When other players are calling you out for being soft, you're a professional athlete. You're an NFL football player. They called you out at home. In the playoffs, you're coming back at home for a big game. I think this could be a huge win for Jay Cutler and for the Bears, and I like them stepping up. And I just like the idea of a home team that lost the NFC Championship getting 3 points. I'm fine with that.
Well, that's the key. They were basically a couple plays away with their third-string quarterback from making the Super Bowl against a team that completely smoked the Falcons.
Right.
Again, you take two rules of thumbs for week one. Rule of thumb, if you don't know what you're doing, take the points and fade the public team. So we're doing both here.
I like that. Okay, we got the Kansas City Chiefs in Arrowhead against the hapless Buffalo Bills, who are getting 6.5 points.
Yeah, I mean, the Chiefs are a prime example of a team that overperformed last year, had a really easy schedule. This year, they're going to have a really tough schedule. One nugget that people aren't really talking about, they lost Charlie Weiss. He left as the offensive coordinator to go be the offensive coordinator at Florida. It's going to be tough. I certainly don't think that Matt Castle should be favored by 6.5 points over too many teams.
Yeah, plus he's banged up.
He's got bruised ribs. Honestly, I'm hoping he plays because I have a lot of bets against Matt Cassel that get voided if he doesn't start game one. So I'm hoping he plays and like gets taken out in the first quarter. But, yeah, you got to take the Bills. I mean, Ryan Fitzpatrick, nothing sexy about him, but he can sling the rock. I mean, he's...
Yeah, you got that Chan Gailey offense, which sounds crazy, but they're coming back for a second year together. There's some – it feels like this Buffalo Bills team has some continuity. They're always a team that's pesky. And with 6.5 points, I like them sticking in this game. I think it's going to be tough to win outright at Arrowhead, but I like the Buffalo Bills sticking around in this game, especially with the addition of Brad Smith. I think there could be a big play potential there at some point. Obviously, the kickoff being moved could negate that, but I still think they'll find a way at some point to get Brad Smith the ball, possibly a big play.
Just don't be surprised if come the end of the year, Steve Johnson is up near the top of the league in receptions and touchdowns.
Steve Johnson, Fred Jackson. They got some guys who can make some plays. All right, now the big news coming out of this week is that Kerry Collins will be filling in as a starter, breaking the near Ironman streak of Peyton Manning. And the Indianapolis Colts are going down to the Houston Texans, where right now the Houston Texans are favored by 9 points.
Which is pretty crazy. That what they're saying is when we were out in Vegas, or I was out in Vegas earlier this summer, they put out week one lines, and I believe Indy was favored by 1.5 points. So what they're saying is that Peyton Manning is basically worth 10 points. It's probably true. I'll take the Texans. Indy looks horrible when Peyton's not running the show. So, and Kerry Collins, I mean, he's awful.
Right.
He was awful 2 years ago.
I'm going to go out on a limb here, and I'm going to take the Colts. Now, this is I think this is a classic stay-away game. But here's my rationale. This is still a division game. They picked up Kerry Collins. I think they're gonna simplify the offense. And I think whenever you see these games in the NFL where the entire week is like, oh, so-and-so's out. Oh, there's no way they're going to win. There's no way they're going to win, regardless of the situation. They might not win, but I guarantee you, the Colts, the entire week, they're just putting up quotes in their locker board or their locker room of different things the Texans are saying, and they're going to be fired up. It's still a division game, and I think there's a lot of players on the Colts that are not necessarily tired of Peyton Manning getting all the credit, but in the back of their head, there's something saying, "Hey, come on, what about me too? Let's show them that we're still a decent team without Peyton Manning."
You know what? This is a great game to throw into a teaser.
Tease the Texans down to -3.
-3. That would not be
or,
bad.
Or the Colts +15. They can't lose by more than 14.
Oh, you sure they can?
Yeah, I know that. I think that's a game you stay away. Now we got the Philadelphia Eagles, the supposed dream team, going up against the St. Louis Rams. The Rams are getting 4.5 points at home. A lot of people are high on the Rams. They seem to be the other team in the NFC that people expect to make the next leap. Ryan, what's your take on this game?
Yeah, this is a strange one because both teams are kind of public hype teams. And the line's probably good. It's probably right where it needs to be. If I'm having to pick a side, I'll take the Eagles. The Rams are another team that everyone's excited. They have a good coach, good quarterback, but they haven't done anything. They have a really tough schedule this year, so they might be pressing a little too hard to get wins early.
Yeah, I think there's something to be said for that. I'm really worried about the Eagles' offensive line. They just named a new starting right guard. It sounds like the rookie Danny Watkins isn't there yet as far as starting. But here, at the end of the day, you gotta throw that in at least once in a Sports Talk podcast. I don't want to be on the other side of money betting against a guy like Michael Vick in a dome. I just don't, as a gambler, I don't want to be betting against a guy with that dynamic ability. I think there's two ways this game could shape out. The Eagles could have a decent number of big plays with the St. Louis defensive backs having trouble keeping up with guys like DeSean Jackson and LeSean McCoy coming out of the backfield, Vic making plays with his feet as well, and they can put up some big numbers. Or the Rams offensive line is blowing the Eagles off the line. They're running the ball on them, and the Rams' defensive line is bringing pressure. This is a game for as many dynamic playmakers as there are on both sides. This game is going to be won in the trenches. Will the Eagles' defensive line be able to pressure Sam Bradford and rattle his cage there a little bit? And will the Eagles' offensive line be able to give Michael Vick enough time? I'm a homer. I'm going to have to take the Eagles, but I think 4.5 is a big number to cover.
This really, it does have the feeling of a game that, you know, the Eagles make some mistakes. They let them stick around, and sometime in the late second quarter, the Rams make a defensive play. Maybe they sack Vick, pick up a fumble, run it back. The crowd gets crazy. I really can't see the Eagles losing this game, but like you said, 4.5 might be too much. I'm still going to take the Eagles, even though I hate them.
And can we put the rest, the notion of the dream team? It was something that Vince Young said at a press conference.
Well,
Vince Young is crazy. He went missing multiple times. He took his shoulder pads and threw them into the stadium.
Maybe the reason you don't sign Vince Young to be your backup.
But he's not going to be the face of the franchise. Yeah, maybe they should have sat him down and whatever, had a longer speech with him. But he has looked okay in the preseason. And as far as backup quarterbacks, a guy who's 30-17 as a starter in the regular season, you have a guy who's potentially injury-prone. I got to go with that signing. All right, now, a battle of who gives a shit. We got the Cleveland Browns versus the Cincinnati Bengals. In beautiful beautiful Cleveland, Ohio. The Battle of Ohio with the Bengals getting 6.5 points. I'll tell you right now, I like the Browns here. I was at 5.5 points when it opened up. I felt really strong about the pick there. 6.5, giving me a little more agita. I'd like that number to be under 6 for the Browns here. My basis being, you got Dick Geron coordinating the Browns defense now, and you got Andy Dalton, a rookie, going on the road, making his first start with the hapless Cincinnati Bengals. I think it's going to be a tough order. Cincinnati's defense is pretty good, and I don't see Cleveland scoring a ton of points, but I do like Cleveland at home.
There's not much to say here. Cincinnati can run the ball. They can play defense. They're starting a quarterback, Andy Dalton. Today I read a news clip that said the Bengals leaked that they would like Carson Palmer to come out of retirement because they're concerned that Andy Dalton won't be able to carry the load as a quarterback in the NFL. And it's like...
Yeah, obviously.
Yeah,
obviously they wanted him the entire time.
You feel bad for Bengals fans because the ownership sucks. I mean, one thing to be excited about, their new rookie receiver, A.J. Green, looks like he's a beast.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, he has no one throwing the ball to him. So, like Sean said, it's a lot of points, but, man, Andy Dalton looked really bad. I'm starting the Browns defense in all of my fantasy teams this week.
That's a good play.
He's looked real. I mean, let's be honest. He was a really good college quarterback for a mid-major team, TCU. And, I don't know, slightly overrated, I guess.
He could be good. But any rookie starting on the road on his first start without the OTAs, with a kind of offense that's been tumultuous, with crappy ownership, with no veteran leadership, it's going to be tough.
Yeah, I mean, Aaron Rodgers would have sucked if he started right away.
Exactly. All right, now, veteran quarterback Matt Hasselbeck takes the reins of the Tennessee Titans and brings them down to Jacksonville Jaguars, where... The Jaguars just released David Garrard. He was set to make $9 million this year. They just cut him. Now they're starting Cade McNown. Luke McNown. Sorry, I got him confused with his brother. I don't know. And the Tennessee Titans are getting 1.5 points. The Tennessee Titans are by no means a good team, but I think the same could be said for the Jacksonville Jaguars. And you're going into week one, and you got Matt Hasselbeck, and you got Chris Johnson. Obviously, the holdout's got to affect him a little bit, at least his conditioning, I would imagine. But I still like the Tennessee Titans getting 1.5.
Here's the thing. How bad do you have to feel if you're David Garrard? You go out on a promotional tour selling tickets for the Jags. You get cut like an hour later, and the line doesn't move at all after you get cut. Here's the thing. At first, you're like, all right, I'm jumping all over the Titans. Then you're like, wait a second. That means I'm betting on Matt Hasselbeck. Matt Hasselbeck has been done for 2 years. So I think...
Yeah, but Matt Hasselbeck won that... He won that playoff game in Seattle, right?
The Seahawks won that game.
Yeah.
In spite of Matt Hasselbeck. Look...
But, it, I mean, compare him to Luke... You know... I
agree. Here's the deal. I'll take the Titans just because I'll take points, but that I would not bet any real money on that.
That's a tough game. These two bad teams week one.
Always take
tough.
The points when there's two bad teams playing.
Speaking of two bad teams, the New York Football Giants will be traveling to Washington, D.C. in the battle for 9/11 honor, where the Washington Redskins are getting +3 points. It's the big afternoon game, I would say. It's the big, probably
yeah, it's
the
national
afternoon
game.
New York Football Giants, who unfortunately just lost their middle linebacker for the season, another blow to that defense, another ACL blown out. The Redskins have decided to go with Sexy Rexy Grossman to start off the season. A lot of talk about Hightower being a possible, looking really good in the preseason. Arakpo supposedly looking good on the defensive line. Ryan, I know you're biased, but what's your take here?
My opinion, anytime you have an NFC East matchup and the home team's getting points, you have to take it.
Right.
Unfortunately, one asterisk to that, unless Rex Grossman's starting. I can't imagine. I mean, Redskins fans are usually bummed out by week one anyway, but I can't imagine. Everyone wanted John Beck to win the job, and Rex Grossman's the quarterback, and it's just got to be real depressing. Plus, there's no way New York loses on 9/11 to Washington. I understand the Pentagon was involved, but come on.
Well, that was all an inside job, and we know.
Yeah.
We know that that was all just set up.
It was all to set up this football matchup 10
exactly.
years later. Roger Goodell was flying one of the planes.
See, that's the kind of stuff.
Wait, is Joe Rogan calling in later? Or?
That's the kind of stuff you won't hear on the other guy's sports gambling podcast. Yeah, I agree with your logic. If you got a divisional matchup and you got the home team getting 3 points, you got to take it here. Obviously, I have the same concerns with quarterback. Although, to be honest, I mean, we were playing Madden, Ryan, and I don't know. Eli Manning
sucks in Madden.
Yeah, he kept qualifying with Eli Manning sucks in Madden.
He's really good in real life. He makes a lot of calls at the line of scrimmage.
Yeah, almost as many as his brother. But
speaking of that, which I forgot to bring it up earlier.
Sure.
Since Peyton Manning is not starting week one, the new NFL Iron Man is one Eli Manning, who is about to make his 111th straight start.
All right, there you go. Little trivia there. I really wish he would have beat out Brett Favre. That's somehow really annoying that Brett Favre has that. Brett Favre really tarnished his legacy. I mean, not to get too deep in the Brett Favre thing, but I genuinely like Brett Favre when he was at Green Bay. I kind of liked him still in New York. And then by the time he got to Minnesota, he was just... I started rooting against the guy. I found him very annoying.
Quick question, though. Brett Favre was more recent, but who ruined their legacy more, Michael Jordan or Brett Favre?
Well, I think Michael Jordan coming back and winning 3 championships.
No, I'm talking about the Wizard years, then destroying a franchise that he owned. I mean, it's...
Yeah. I don't know. I guess I don't have as bitter of taste in my mouth about Michael Jordan. All right, we don't need that aside. What we do need is to figure out who we're going to take in this another matchup of seemingly crap teams. The Arizona Cardinals are facing off against the Carolina Panthers. The Carolina Panthers are getting 7 points.
So, again, two shitty teams take the points unless it's Cam Newton starting. So, there's no way I'm betting on Cam Newton. He completed, like, 2 passes to wide receivers in the preseason. He completed 42% of his passes. I don't know. It's crazy he's a starting quarterback. I mean, I guess Jimmy Clausen's really bad, I guess.
It's the same reason I'm betting against the Cincinnati Bengals. A unproven rookie starting his first game ever, shortened offseason, going on the road. I'm not a huge Cardinals guy. I think I tweeted this joke a while ago, but it's worth repeating, that the most, say what you will about their immigration laws, the most racist thing Arizona has done is to assume that Kevin Cobb is a good quarterback. I get it. He's white. He wears the number 4. If you want him to be the next Brett Favre, the guy likes to check down. And in the NFL, that's not where it's going to happen. Maybe if you want him to run 3-yard slants the entire time, but the Arizona offense is not set up for that. Look for Arizona to struggle. Look for Kevin Cobb not to be a breakout star. I still think they can win the division at 9-7 and make the playoffs, so it'll seem like a success. But I don't see Kevin Cobb making multiple Pro Bowls. I don't see him. And for a guy that you're giving $30 million to guaranteed, I guess their hand was forced once Kurt Warner left. But $30 million guaranteed to Kevin Cobb, I don't see it. He started 7 games for the Eagles, and I just don't see it yet.
That's an awful division, isn't it?
Well, speaking of that, we have the next matchup is the San Francisco 49ers starting Alex Smith versus Dante Culpepper and the Seattle Seahawks.
How do either one of these teams not go out and sign David Garrard immediately?
I think there's a real shot that one of these teams could.
All right. So
it sounded like I heard I forget what show I was listening to, probably Dan Patrick show, but I heard.
Seattle's looking.
Supposedly,
at it.
The big rumor was that Seattle was holding out hope, basically that possibly Cincinnati would trade Carson Palmer. That eventually Carson Palmer stayed out locked out enough that it would force the owner's hand and he would trade him to Seattle. But it doesn't look like that's going to happen before the season starts, and they're starting Dante Culpepper. I'm going to take the 5 points that the Seahawks are giving or that are getting. I'm not feeling great about it, and I think it's the logic that you were selling me earlier before the show that the 49ers are just not a team that can cover 5 points, not with Alex Smith. I mean, I guess granted you have Frank Gore, but I just don't feel it.
Similar situation last year. I believe they were playing Arizona, and it was like, oh, Arizona stinks. There's no way. And San Francisco lost like 21-3.
Yep. I remember that. I remember that
I think
game.
I bet on San Francisco. I'm done with them.
I had San Francisco is not a team you want money on. I mean, I can think of a lot better bets than Seattle getting 5 points.
I mean, at least Singletary's not the coach anymore. As it turns out, really good linebacker, really horrible coach.
Really not a bright person. Now we got a matchup here in the Southwest. The San Diego Superchargers hosting the Minnesota Vikings, being led by one Donovan McNabb and a 8.5-point spread that the Vikings are getting.
Now, I'm drinking the Chargers Kool-Aid this year, but 8.5's a lot. Plus our buddy Lutzy is going to be in attendance wearing a Vikings Brett Favre jersey, so I don't want to bet against that.
Right. Yeah, you don't want to. If Wildman Lutz is at the stadium, that's worth at least another 0.5-point swing. And this goes through my consensus through this entire podcast. The Vikings getting 8.5 points. That's just way too high. If you want me to bet the Chargers, you got to put it at 7 or under 7. 8.5 is too much. 28-20, the Vikings are covering that. You have Adrian Peterson, you have Percy Harvin. You have Donovan McNabb, who I still think is quasi-capable. And the one thing about McNabb is he plays well in games that don't mean a lot and in warm weather situations. Okay, because he's a beat-up old man, and I think he'll have an okay game. He'll have 200 yards, possibly 2 touchdowns and a pick. He won't look great. They'll probably lose the game, but they'll lose it by 4, maybe 3, maybe 7. But I think 8.5 is too much. I like the Vikings here.
Yeah, and we should also point out that the Chargers, every year they seem to disappoint in the beginning of the season. So
always off to a slow start. Plus, you have the North Turner factor. I like the Vikes here, getting all that points. Okay, the Sunday night lineup, football night in America, the New York Jets hosting the Dallas Cowboys. America's team versus America City, New York, 9/11, big game here. We got a couple different lines going on, or storylines going on here. We, of course, have Rex Ryan, the coach of the New York Jets, playing host to his brother, Rob Ryan, Rob Ryan, who is now taking over as the defensive coordinator for the Cowboys. A lot of expectations in Big D, as always. Can they live up to it, Ryan? Can the Cowboys cover the four-point spread? What are your thoughts? Currently 4 points.
Here's the thing. I don't like the Cowboys. I really hope they fail miserably. I have a hard time ever betting on Tony Romo because he's so inconsistent. For whatever reason, the public wants to crown him. They've been wanting to give him every accolade since he got into the league, and he hasn't done anything. You might argue he might be a bottom five quarterback in the NFC. So that being said, yeah, I don't know. I guess I've been flip flopping on this game. I guess I don't really care. I don't know.
It's a strong opinion.
I'll take New York on 9/11.
I like New York on 9/11. I like Rex Ryan, where there's some personal pride at stake. I think part of how he's a great motivator. I think part of the reason they were able to beat Belichick, I don't think he can out game plan a guy like Bill Belichick, but I think he can kind of get to these players, sell them on that whole play like a Jet, win like a Jet. I think there's going to be a lot of personal pride for the city of New York and family pride of Rex Ryan not wanting to lose to his brother. I really like their chances there here. I don't think Dallas is going to be able to slow down the New York Jets running game. And also, did you see this, that Rob Ryan commented on the Rex Ryan foot videos that were all the news last year? Of course, the infamous Rex Ryan foot fetish videos. If you haven't seen it, I don't know where you've been, but Rex Ryan he approaches an SUV that his wife is in. She's got her feet dangling out. They get into this whole storyline that they have set up of like, oh, hey, ma'am, I see your car's broken down. Oh, wow, you got some really nice feet here. It's very creepy. So for some reason, Rob Ryan felt the need to comment on this story at this point. I don't know if he was asked directly, but here is Rob Ryan responding to this in the Cowboys locker room. Quote, who cares? Believe me, everybody has whatever screwed up thing going on. I don't care. I'm sure you do and everybody else that points fingers. Who cares? Everybody has a life off the field. Who gives a crap? I'm sure I'm worse than he is, so big deal. I mean, hell, he's a little freaky, I guess. I don't know. I like everything about my wife. She's got great feet, too. She's got everything nice. What the hell? Which immediately creeps me out that, if you're that, you know, casually writing off the foot stuff, you're definitely, Rob Ryan's definitely into some golden showers, Cleveland steamers. This guy is, I'm having a feeling he's digging deep. And also, he definitely is just pulling this out as psychological warfare for his brother. He's not earnestly sticking up for his brother here. If he wanted to do that, he could have done that last year when it was all going on. Instead, he decides to bring it up and basically confirm that it was his brother in these videos, because Rex Ryan never confirmed it himself. So, a lot of storylines going on here, and I like the Jets. I like throwing my money behind a home team on a Sunday night game like that. A team that's pretty solid. They lost the AFC Championship, but I think that was kind of because they blew their wad against New England. I think they're going to come back. They're playing hard. As much as I'm not a huge fan of Mark Sanchez, he did lead the Jets to the AFC Championship game 2 years in a row. I think they've got a good team together. They have their roles well-defined. I think there's definite gaps in the Dallas team. And Tony Romo was 1-5 as a starter last year. Granted, it was with Wade Phillips, but you can't go 1-5, break your collarbone, and come back with rocket-high expectations. I just don't see it.
One thing to point out, that offense, the Dallas offense, was really good once Jason Garrett took over. But
that is true.
It was without Tony Romo.
Maybe that was John Kitna. I mean, Jason Garrett was the offensive coordinator, so whatever was going on there, it's baffling. Okay, so we got two Monday night games, which I always find kind of annoying, to be honest.
Well, especially because one has to be some crappy AFC West or NFC West teams.
Yep.
It seems like it's always the Raiders and somebody.
Yeah, a lot of Raiders on this second game here. So the first game is the Patriots at the Dolphins. Dolphins getting 7 points. I like the Dolphins here again with 7 points, just being a division game, getting that many points. I'm apprehensive always betting Chad Henne, but it's in Miami. Miami has historically always played the Patriots tough. They've always been a thorn in their side, whether winning or just keeping the games close. 7 points seems like a lot, and I'm just not that high on the Patriots this year. I think they're going to have a good year, but we're looking at another 10-6, 11-5. I don't think they're going to dominate the regular season.
It's crazy because for as good as they've been, for as long as they've been good, they seem to be getting too much hype this offseason. A lot of hype surrounding that their defense is suddenly going to be really good. I mean, they had a really bad defense last year, and people expect that to change. I'm not sure that's going to happen. Chad Henne has not looked great, but I don't know. One thing people seem to forget is how awesome Brandon Marshall was before he hurt his hip last year. And
yeah, they're supposedly they're talking about how Brandon Marshall straightened his meds out, and now he's going to be getting along with Chad Henne better. I don't think that the Patriots' pass rush is that great, and they just cut their – what was his name?
Their safety, Brandon Merriweather or whatever.
Yeah, they just cut the starting safety out of nowhere. So I think there's definitely some points where the Dolphins can just at least hang in there and keep it close. All right, final game of the week, final game of Monday night, the Denver Broncos in Mile High versus the Oakland Raiders. The Raiders are getting 3 points in Denver. I don't know. Man, this is another just two kind of crap teams. Although I kind of like the way the Raiders finish, but them getting rid of Tom Cable, them insisting on starting Jason Campbell again, it's just not that exciting for me to bet on. I like going with Orton. He's not great. He can definitely lose you a game. But I think the coaching change is going to help Denver. And I made this point to you over email. But I think there is something that people are going to be a little bit behind on conditioning just because of the short off season, and I think if you're not used to the altitude, you're a little bit more out of shape. You go to a high altitude place, I think it's going to affect you a little bit more. So I like the Denver Broncos laying 3 points. Oh, that's tough, but I'm going to go with Denver there.
Yeah, that's a pretty ridiculous argument, but I also like Denver.
But you don't think what's ridiculous about that?
That you're going to pick Denver because Oakland's out of shape?
Right. They're an undisciplined team. They're a bunch of they're losers. They're the Oakland Raiders. They're a bunch of undisciplined guys.
So here's the crazy thing is that
if you picture guys sticking to an off-season workout regimen, if you don't have to show up for OTAs, I don't picture guys like that play on the Oakland Raiders doing it. Who's the veteran leader that's getting all the guys together going, we got to stay in shape?
Jason Campbell.
Right, exactly. You just made my point.
Yeah, so I'll take Denver. Kyle Orton slowly turning into like this generation. Well, I guess Chad Pennington was also in this generation, but just a solid quarterback that wins games, but everyone seems to write off constantly. I mean, they were seriously talking about starting Tim Tebow. That's retarded.
That is, yeah, he went from battling out for the first place where they were going to trade Kyle Orton to barely hanging on to the third starting spot, number three on the depth chart to possibly getting traded.
Boomer Esiason had a great quote. He basically said, I don't know what Josh McDaniels was thinking. I guess only God knows what he was thinking when he drafted Tim Tebow.
Yeah, I mean, it's tough coming in. You got Tebow there. You invested in him. You sold a shitload of Tebow jerseys. You kind of can't.
I mean, they basically said the only reason he's on the team is to sell because he sold a lot of tickets, and they're paying him a shitload of money.
Yeah, I mean, you're going to really burn the fan base, but the fan base wants to win. So I think whether they like it or not, Kyle Orton is there, at least for the short term.
Tim Tebow, you mean?
Yeah, sorry. Well, I didn't mean Kyle Orton. Kyle Orton is there as the starter until they find someone else, but I don't think it's going to be Tim Tebow either. All right, Ryan, let's take things out here with the lock of the week. I got that from Akon's Locked Up. I stole the sound effect.
Oh, wow.
All right, so Ryan, give us your lock of the week.
Wow. Well, I'll tell you what. I'll throw two out there this week because I'm pretty. I feel really confident about these two. The Steelers. The Steelers getting 2.5. Give me that sound effect, Sean. The Steelers getting 2.5. Like I said, Ravens a little overrated. Steelers underrated. And I don't know. I'll take Roethlisberger in that matchup any day. Second one, we're going to go with the Bucks. -1.5 at home against the Lions. This should be at least 3 points. Again, let's just match up of quarterbacks. Give me Josh Freeman. He showed me he can win games. Matthew Stafford hasn't. So, I don't know. That's how I feel. Give me the sound. There it is.
One more lock. All right. Since you went with two locks, I will also give you two locks.
You can overlap, Sean, because I know you like that Steelers.
No, I do. I was all on the Steelers, so I'll use that as one of my locks. I'll use that as one of my locks. And, man, it's tough. It's 6.5 points, but I saw it coming out of the gate. The line jumped out at me from week one. I just like going against bad quarterbacks on the road, rookie quarterbacks. You got the defensive coordinator. You're at home. It's 6.5 points, but my second lock is the Cleveland Browns. All right. Felt like going out on the edge there with the Cleveland Browns lock. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in to the Sports Gambling Podcast. Make sure to log on to winthetrophy.com. Enter STG as a referral code. And you can also click the Amazon link. I'll have a link to Madden 2012, all the NFL gear. You just click right through there. Doesn't cost you anything. You can actually bookmark it, and the Sports Gambling Podcast in the Green Room gets a commission, and we always appreciate that. All right, till next week. I don't know, Ryan, do we got a you got any ideas for a good outline?
An outline?
Yeah.
I don't know.
What's a good wrap-up line? Keep picking? The money plays?
The money, yeah. Should we tell our fans to follow us?
Sure.
In the Las Vegas Hilton contest?
Yes, we're also entered in the Las Vegas Super Hilton contest.
I think it's the Las Vegas Hilton Super Contest.
Okay, sorry. The Las Vegas Hilton Super Contest, where we'll be taking 5 games each week, picking against the spread, much like we did here.
Picking against some of the best handicappers in the world.
It's basically the World Series of Poker, except for sports gambling. It's a real dream come true for Ryan and myself, especially if we win. So you can follow us there. I'll post a link on the page here. And check us out. Our team name there is The Money Plays. Thank you, everyone, for checking out the Sports Gambling Podcast.